This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Rhea's going to join us at 11. We'll get an update on an Eagle that we're trying to figure out. Is he staying or is he going? And what the Eagles should do moving forward this offseason. The Daily Mock at 1 o'clock returns. We're about 4 weeks away from the NFL draft. And updated odds on the bracket of Hughes as we are down to the Sweet 16. We'll tell you who the new favorite is and some shocking information about one team in the bracket that we found out over the course of the weekend. But Hugh,
yes.
I believe Ross Thompson should be on the hot seat to start the season. We'll see where everyone feels on this.
It's a complicated situation,
it is,
Joe.
It is. Well, the lineup to start the year is making it more complicated, as it now sounds like the Phillies are absolutely going to have two different leadoff hitters, sometimes Trey Turner, sometimes Kyle Schwarber, depending on the opposing pitcher. Let's hear from Bryce Harper, though, because, you know, back when spring training began, Bryce made it clear he'll do what the team wants, but he is, well, this is what he is.
Obviously, I'm a three-hole hitter, and I have been, but whenever they tell me to hit two or four, I've done that in the past, as you guys know, so I want to win. So I don't care what that takes. You want to start out hot, and you're going to go the ebbs and flows of the season, obviously. But as a team, we just need to understand to just play the game all year long, play it right, play hard, take the ebbs and flows, and get hot at the right time, obviously, by the end of the year. And I mean, obviously, I want to win the division. That's the first thing, and then get into the postseason and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter if you're the best team in baseball or not. You just got to go in there and play the game and do it the right way all the way through.
All right, Hugh, where do you come down now the Topper has made this pretty much official, that they're going to have two different lineups, one against lefties, one against righties. What do you think of this? Because there's pros and cons to doing this, and mm-hmm. I understand he's trying to optimize the lineup because Turner is better against lefties, so you want to put in there to start against lefties. Schwarber is better against righties. But what's interesting to me is this doesn't affect those two guys. It affects all of the top four. So the way it looks like, against lefties, it's going to go Turner, Harper, Bohm, Schwarber. Against righties, Schwarber, Turner, Harper, boom. So all four of them, every day, depending on the opposing pitcher, are going to have to move around. What do you think of that?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. Granted, never played baseball, so I don't know how effective or affected I would be by that. But the bottom line is this. I think that the situation that the Phillies are in right now, everybody has to be more malleable. Malleable. Yeah, I got it out there. Look at me. Malleable, that worked weird. That was good.
You
I did a good
nailed
job. The fact that when I said it, everybody kind of looked and was impressed.
Now, no, I was not going to make a big deal out of it.
No, listen.
But if you want to celebrate the little wins.
No, you got to. You have to. Every now and then, you have to celebrate the little wins. Especially coming off a weekend.
Yeah.
And on a Monday. Yes. I won't try to do it again, though.
Big day
but
for
anyway,
you.
But anyway, that's where we are. Because we didn't make a whole lot of changes, man. And you have to be open to doing things different. Keep saying it. Definition of insanity. We all know what it is. Mm. This team didn't do a whole lot. You know, if the Eagles went into the season last year and didn't make any changes defensively or anything like that, we would be killing Howie.
That's true.
You know what I mean? We would be killing him. But we're sitting back. We're really, as a fan base, I think we're kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt by saying we'll just wait to the postseason. Because we've seen what this team has been doing the regular season. So I think that's the grace period. We'll just see what happens in the postseason. Now, with that being said, I know nobody's going to sit there with their arms folded and just be quiet. We're going to live and die with
every
pitch.
People are saying that now.
Yes.
Yeah, wait till they're 1-3.
Wait till Wednesday.
People
wait till Wednesday roll around. Yeah, they're going to flip out, man. But that's kind of where we are because – I think people are still on that emotional high of the Eagles, and we're in limbo when it comes to the Sixers. You know, we didn't have that bridge to get us from one sport to the next this year.
No,
we just didn't have it.
Yep.
So we're kind of like, you know, we're still riding that emotional Eagles high, and we're just waiting for the baseball season to start with our arms folded right now, because no games are, they don't matter. They're not meaningful. But boy, when the season starts, that, like, sitting down, what they say, just sitting on the fence,
yeah.
Oh, that's going to change.
No, that's over. So you're okay with the two different lineups?
I am. I am, because I look at it like this, Joe. We talked all offseason about some of the moves that were going to be made that weren't made. No moves were made.
Mm.
And I think that they wanted to make moves, but for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. So now you have to run back. But everybody has to be they have to want to do things differently.
Well, that's a key. The buy-in is the key, and Topper's got to get their buy-in. And not just – like, it's one thing to get their buy-in today. It's another thing a week from now, 2 weeks from now, if Harper's slumping a little bit, he might go like, hey, I don't mind two or three, but I need to know every day. Like, is Topper ready for the backlash to this? Because
yeah.
I think on paper, there's logic to this. I don't think it's crazy, the idea, but – there's going to be some backlash. Let me give you another thing that could happen. Let's say Trey goes 3-for-3 on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then the next game, he's not the leadoff hitter. Because
no, you can't. I don't think. See,
but
that's the thing.
That seems, the plan seems to be lefty-righty. So results should not affect that, right? If he goes 3-for-3 and the next pitcher is the opposite hand, then he's not leading off the next day. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like it's a slippery slope for a manager to go down this path.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't go 0-for-3.
Well, hopefully not. Or
hopefully.
No, but what if he goes 3-for-3 and then he's not the leadoff hitter the next day?
Yeah. I mean, there's something to that, but I think that going into this season you have to be in a position where you have to be adjusted. You have to be able to adjust.
Let's hear Scott Fransky. He was on with us this past Friday for our first Fransky Friday, and he was hinting at what we now seem to know, which is they're gonna have two different lineups to start this season.
If you go and say X is my Y, for instance, Trey is my leadoff hitter, then the first time you deviate from that, everybody says, well, what? I thought Trey was your leadoff hitter. It's just like the closer thing. If I say Alvarado's my closer and then I use him in the eighth, they'll be like, wait a minute, I thought he was your closer. And Rob has never been one to want to manage that way. And so I do not think it would not surprise me at all to see some different lineups coming out of the gates from the Phils.
So I totally understand Scott's analogy. The only difference is they've had a leadoff hitter for the past 2 years. His name is Kyle Schwarber. Right?
Schwarber.
The Phillies really haven't had a closer. They just do different guys, so we don't lock into this one person, and all of a sudden next year he's not the guy anymore. We know the Schwarber thing works, and it seems like they're going to go away from it, at least on a third or 40% of the days. 215-592-9494. Kyle, what do you think? Do you like the two lineups? Because it feels like this has gone from, maybe, to, this is what they're doing starting on Thursday.
Not really. I mean, it's honestly just kind of annoying. Like, pick one. I don't understand why we're going to be we're probably going to be one of the only teams in baseball that's doing this multiple lineups thing. Like, can they make a decision? I'm a Kyle Schwarber leadoff hitter guy. But also, when I think about Trey Turner going one, Topper said that means Bryce Harper has to be the number two hole.
So it changes everyone in the top four every day.
Right. And Bryce said he wants to be, Bryce said, I'm a three hole hitter. So it I don't understand why we need to toy with this kind of thing. I get it, but I would rather them just go and stick with one lineup, and you know what my lineup would be. And it would have Kyle Schwarber at the top.
Yeah, mine would too. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Should Rob Thompson be in the hot seat to start this season? I say yes. This lineup thing is adding to that. If they play in April the way they played last July, August, September, and October, I'd make a change. Like, I would have a very short leash with Rob Thompson. Where do you come down on Topper? And do you like the idea of multiple lineups, which really, it's not just moving guys 6, 7, 8. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 every single day could be different. Chris in Nazareth is up on WIP. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good, Chris. What's up?
He definitely, absolutely, 100% got to be on the hot seat. I mean, the last 2 years, put it this way, after Sirianni had the 2023 meltdown, everybody in Philly wanted him gone. They were going to hang him from the Whitman Bridge. Okay, after our last two postseasons with
Chris,
he got a pass.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
I'm sitting here. I'm sitting here too.
Oh, hi, Hugh. How are you?
There we go. Now
they don't know who he is.
now we can have a show.
Okay, now we're good. All right, go ahead. Keep going, Chris.
They wanted to get rid of Sirianni. Rob had a pass. And let me tell you something. When they lost those two home games to Arizona at home, in my book, that's as bad as losing those last six games for the Eagles. He's got to be on the hot seat. And you know what? Turner hasn't done anything to show me he could be a leadoff guy. So if you're really, really serious about having somebody other than Kyle Schwarber, it can't be him. Maybe Stott. But if not Stott, stick with Schwarber, okay?
I agree, And the Turner thing, it's like, I think for a lot of people, he looks like a leadoff hitter. He should be a leadoff hitter, but
with
he does.
With the speed and everything.
Yeah, but he doesn't get on base. I mean, that's the bottom line.
And then the other thing is, okay, with the lineup, we had the season started with Justin Crawford. He's at AAA.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in center field, he's going to have Marsh. So listen to this. He's number one. I think he's a defensive liability out there. Number two, he don't hit lefties. Number three, he strikes out 30-40% against righties. And number four, he's a poor base runner. And I think go with the guy who hits 245. Plays gold glove in center field, runs the bases, let him keep the bench warm for Crawford until Crawford is ready. I think he's going to be ready by mid-season.
So you're talking about Rojas. You're talking about Rojas.
Yeah, Rojas. Yeah. I mean, come on. I know he hits 245, but you got to be strong up the middle as a baseball team. And I don't like watching Marsh out there wandering around chasing a fly ball, dropping at the warning. I just can't. I can't take it.
Yeah, Marsh is they thought he was more than he was. A Chris, good phone call, but he's fine. I mean, I don't expect much more to Brandon.
Can I say something real quick? This is my home. When I come into this studio, I'm gonna treat this like my house. And so, out of respect for me, just like I get respect for the caller, speak to me. We're not doing that. We're not doing this anymore. I let it slide a couple times. We're not doing this anymore. You call in, I give you respect on this radio station. Joe's not sitting here by himself.
Say hi.
Say nothing. I understand that you might be a diehard baseball person and you don't want to talk to me because however you feel, but this is my home and respect my home. When you walk into my door, say hi to me. You ain't got to speak to me, but you're going to acknowledge that I'm here. You're going to do that. My fault.
No,
carry
you're,
on.
You're good. So I'm with you. Say hi to both of us. Or if you're mad at me, then you can just talk to you.
But still, even if they're mad at you, Joe, they're going to speak. Because that's just respect. That's just a mutual respect thing.
Unless it's Jay from West Philadelphia.
Well, Jay, yeah. Jay likes
if
to
I need
put
a break, I'll just go into the room while you talk. I mean, I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's intentional.
Yeah, and I intentionally will leave. I'm good with that. 215-592-949. No, well said, Hugh. Say hi to both of us when you call in. All right. Before we go back to the phone lines here, we do have a prize to give away. You know, it might be
my favorite type.
It might be the way to win the prize is just to say hi to both of us.
Let me go get my notes.
That's the baseline. No, we got a great prize today. A gift card from Sunoco. Get the highest level performance out of your car with 94 octane. Now available exclusively at Sunoco gas stations in Philadelphia. So on my copy here, it says that it's a $94 gift card. I like round numbers.
I like it when you take control of the situation.
I like round numbers.
Taking charge.
$100. We're giving away a $100 gift card to Sunoco. And we're going to do it with a game called Hugh's Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Hugh's Clues. Come on in, come on in. Hugh's Clues. It's Hugh's Clues and you.
I might need some help with this first because I kind of wrote it out. I got it now because I sometimes, full disclosure, I can't read my own handwriting because I was writing kind of fast. But here we go, people. This first clue, this person, in honor of Coach Jackson this weekend, went down to Delaware State to see Coach Jackson. I think he's going to do I find it fascinating how, you know, you might know somebody in one way, but when you see them, you see him in a different light.
Sure, yeah.
He was intense. He was out there, like, taking notes. He was locked. It was just different. Especially and it was a side of him that I've never seen before.
Especially when you see someone that's more in, like, an authoritarian kind of
role. Yes, man. And he, attention to detail, that was the biggest thing that I got from practicing everything. It was more attention to detail, and I'm excited about Delaware State football. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to try to figure out, you know, because what we do in football season for us is going to be kind of busy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely going to try to go down there and make a couple of games. But I'm pretty sure y'all got the first clue. It's the famous coach. This person that I'm talking about is a famous coach.
All right, famous coach, your first clue. 215.
Fictional coach, my fault. Fictional coach. I'm sorry, people. I was so excited about a famous fictional coach.
Well, that certainly leads people down a different path. All right,
yes.
So famous fictional coach for Hughes' first clue for Hughes Clues. $100 gift card on the line today to Sunoco. 215-592-9494. Should Rob Thompson be in the hot seat to start the season? I say yes. I like Rob. I've defended him before. But the end of last season was rough. The way they seemed to have no light to them the last 2 months was rough. The way they played in the postseason was rough. And I'm not sitting here trying to be doom and gloom on the season. I'm excited for the Phillies. And if they get off to a great start, then Rob's, it's great. Let's roll and try to win a championship with Rob Thompson.
You're giving him the side eye.
Yeah, he's got the side eye going into the season. And specifically because he took the best leadoff hitter they have, and he's making him a part-time leadoff hitter. And we're taking Bryce Harper, who said out loud, Kyle played it for you, I'm a three-hitter. And now he's a sometimes two-hitter, sometimes three-hitter. They're shaking up four spots in the lineup every day. They're four best hitters. For what? To get Trey Turner going? It feels like a little bit of a desperation move. It feels like a move from a manager who knows he's got to shake something up and doesn't know what to do. And if it works, I will say, you know what? Good job, Rob Thompson. If it doesn't, I will say he's got to get out of here. Mark in Wilmington. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how are you?
Good, Mark.
How are you both?
Appreciate that, Mark.
We're great, Mark.
No, you know what, Mark? When you said, hey, how are you, that was good enough.
Yeah.
That was good enough.
Okay, I want to make sure.
That was good enough.
Hey, yeah, you know what? I don't think it's as big a deal as we're making out the lineup thing. Hitting wherever. I mean, I think like Turner needs, whether it's him or not, he needs to be more disciplined wherever he's batting. But I don't think it's as big a deal as we're making right now. And I know you, like you said, you know, Schwarber has been a fantastic leadoff guy. But he's got a lot of leadoff home runs, and I wouldn't mind if sometimes they were two- or three-run home runs.
Somebody in position. Yeah.
He's not your typical leadoff guy. So doing something a little different, having not a typical setup for the leadoff guy, that's different too. So I just think, you know, I don't think it's the end of the world. It's something to try a little bit, and I think Schwarber is going to be fine batting wherever he is. Turner, we'll see. You know, he's so hot and cold and sometimes swings at bad pitches. And I would not have the coach on the hot seat before the season started yet. I get it. I get that, you know, we've been disappointed the last few years. And talk to me in a month and 2 months from now, and if they're terrible, I might say something different.
Well, so, and Mark, that's really what's in my brain. And Mark, we appreciate the phone call. Like, that, it's not so much I'm firing Rob Thompson if they lose opening day. I mean, let's be serious. It's a 162-game season. But Rob Thompson, it's funny. Like, I think it was two callers ago, they brought up the Sirianni comparison. It isn't that different, Hugh. We walked into last season. Now we have the gift of knowing what happened in retrospect, right? Mm-hmm. Sirianni won the Super Bowl. But heading into last season, Nick Sirianni was absolutely on the hot seat.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we were talking about, I mean, I said fire him after week four, but like the conversation was if they struggle, he's going to be out of here.
Yeah.
With Topper, it's like, I don't know what it is. He's more likable? I think Topper's likable. I think people like Rob Thompson.
I think a lot of people are, nothing's changed, and they're more concerned about some of the moves he could potentially make in the regular season and in the postseason for that matter. So
yeah.
I think it's a little bit of that. So that's why I think a lot of people are skeptical. Of the two line, well, you're skeptical of the two line of things, but I look at it more of you got to do something because you didn't add any pieces.
Well, they did. I mean, nothing of significant. No, that's for sure. The team is pretty similar to what it was last year. And I think in a vacuum, what he's doing makes sense. I'm usually for optimizing a lineup and putting the right personnel out there and all that. But they're human beings. You're changing every day four spots. If it was just Turner and Schwarber flipping back and forth, just two people involved, I might think differently. This is four spots every day are going to be different. And I keep pointing back to this. If Turner goes 3-for-3 on Thursday, he's not leading off on Saturday because of righties pitching? Feels like a can of worms that the manager's opening to try to spark something. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream Team, how y'all doing this morning?
Hey, Will, what's up, buddy?
All right, I think it's time for Topman to make a call with Charlie, man. Ask him, you know, because you're a champion. Ask him, what did he do? Give me some advice on how I could get these guys on board and stay on board. How can I get these guys' confidence built back up? How can I get these guys to believe in each other and to believe in me? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, you had these 2 to 3 seasons to understand. A lot of the game and a lot of games we lost is because we can't get on base. And then when we do load the bases, we can't get them off the bases. So we got to incorporate the small ball, man. I mean, it's been like 2 to 3 seasons, and you still ain't realized that? Get these guys, everyone, even if the sluggers, get them to make some sacrifice hits, to get some infield hits, and get on base, man. Enough's enough. We ain't trying to hear we going to the championship, we going to the playoffs. We've been there, done that. It's time to win a championship, man. It's time now, man. It's like there's no more excuses in here. I think after a certain amount of games, yeah, I think he should be on the chopping block. And guess what? And he should be notified. So guess what? He had to come up with some type of game plan where he's going to get these guys all involved and game with each other. So, you know, I think he is going to be on the chopping block this season because it ain't no more excuses you can give us, man. Trying to change the lineup and all that. But listen, man, it is what it is. And last thing, man. Mm-hmm. And Harper, listen, you ain't really got no room to be speaking, man, because these last couple seasons, you the man, but you ain't been showing it. You know what I'm saying? So it's time for you to step your game up. I'm tired of hearing you talk too. Let's bring it now.
Well, it feels like a put up or shut up season for all of them.
Absolutely.
It is. All right, Will, are you ready to give a guess for Hugh's Clues? What fictional coach is Hugh talking about?
And Hugh,
yes.
I got another title for you.
What's that?
More better clues.
You know what? That's the one that might make the bracket next year.
Clues aren't supposed to be easy from the gate.
No, I'm joking. I think Clues Douglas could be one.
Clueless Hugh.
No. A couple times, hey Will, a couple times we did this, man, and people got it out, knocked it out the park the first clue.
Yeah, and that hurt Hugh in his soul.
Yeah, that hurt my pride a little bit.
I'm gonna go with Any Given Sunday, Al Pacino.
It's a good guess.
That's a really good guess.
One of the ones we were bantering up before the show was that coach. So you were in Hugh's head. That's not the one we landed on though. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here on this Monday. We're 3 days away from opening day. Baseball starts this week. Should Rob Thompson be on the hot seat to start the season? The Phillies are going to start the year, according to Topper himself, with two different starting lineups, two different leadoff hitters, two different 1-2-3-4. Some days Turner against lefties, some days Schwarber against righties. Do you like that idea? And where do you stand on Topper as we start the season? I look at a team with a manager that was 500 from July on last year, got knocked out of the playoffs way earlier than anyone anticipated. Where do you come down on Topper? Should it be on the hot seat to start the season? I say yes. If they get off to a tough start in April and beginning of May, I'll change the manager. They did this 3 years ago, and they got to the World Series. I can't waste a $300 million roster. All right, we'll get to your phone calls here, and Rhea Hughes will join us after the break. We'll get her take on all of this next. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy. They'll come back between visits to make it right. Head to truegreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.